Well, many Americans are working from home during this pandemic. Now, as some states reopen, people are starting to trickle back into their offices. But is it safe enough? And should we be really in any hurry to get back? Jad Slaman of WHYY's The Pulse reports.
For me, work from home has meant I can take naps, take piano or PlayStation breaks, wake up later, and start work in the same shirt I've worn all week. In short, it's been awesome, and I very honestly never want it to end. Stanford economics professor Nicholas Bloom has been thinking about work from home long before COVID forced us all into it. It all started in 2011 when he found out the unassuming middle-aged student in back of his class was the founding CEO of a giant Chinese company.
It was quoted at that time on NASDAQ, worth about $15 billion.
The company was Ctrip, a Chinese travel booking service akin to Expedia or Priceline. At the time, it had 15,000 employees. The student was entrepreneur James Liang.
James himself was worth like, half a billion.
During a class discussion, Liang said his company was thinking about work from home. They were expanding and feeling growing pains.
They were paying a fortune for this huge office in downtown Shanghai.
The question for Ctrip wasn't, are we going to take a loss during work from home? It was, how big of a loss would it be? Is work from home going to save us enough in rent money to be worth the loss in productivity?
The saying is the three great enemies of working from home are the fridge, the television, and the bed.
Bloom asked Liang if he could tag along back to China and see how it all played out as part of a study. Liang's Shanghai offices were very American.
Cubicles, canteens, 6-7 floors, probably 3,000-4,000 people in that office.
And the daily grind was typical office work. Phone calls with clients, emails, dealing with web issues. Ctrip did a pseudo-pilot study of work from home with only 5 employees. Results were promising, so the company asked for volunteers to try work from home and got some 500.
We took the 500 and you randomized them by even and odd birthdays. They drew a ball from an urn and it said even, so people with even birthdays, so if you're born on like the 2nd, the 4th, the 6th, the 8th of the month, go home for 9 months and the odds stay in the office. And it's the same, exactly the same idea of how you'd do a randomized control trial on drugs for the FDA.
So 9 months of travel booking later, Bloom had the results. And
the firm was like amazed. It was not remotely what they're expecting.
It turned out the homebodies were 13% more productive than the office workers. It was easy to tell by looking at booking numbers, client calls.
They calculated they were increasing profits by about $2,000 for each employee that was working from home.
Bloom looked into where the boost came from and found, first off, 9 to 5 actually became 9 to 5. They worked their full hours.
And the reason is, they weren't hit by commuting problems or their motorbike broke down or they took a long lunch break. There was much less of those interruptions.
There was much less of any kind of interruption.
They were just more productive per minute and they said it was quieter and easier to concentrate.
An important caveat here is all the volunteers had spare rooms that they could dedicate to work. It's a luxurious solitude not everyone forced into working from home has right now. Bloom doesn't.
My youngest is 4. She regularly, this is like 5 to 10 times a day, comes into my office shouting, doo-doo, doo-doo, which is her nickname for me, I'm bored, I want to play, come with me.
In his research on Ctrip, doo-doo also found way fewer people quit, which was noteworthy since the company had pretty high churn at the time. Folks, it seemed, started enjoying their jobs more. Bloom thinks part of it has to do with flexibility.
We all know it's very hard to concentrate all the time. There's lots of studies that psychologists do about there's only so much energy, I believe, your brain can put into allowing you to concentrate.
He says work from home lets us just kind of accept that and fall into a more natural rhythm of work and rest.
So my day is structured slightly differently. I start earlier, work for a bit, go for a run, work for a while, actually see my kids over dinner in the early evening and then sometimes work a bit later at night.
Talking with Bloom about working from home, it sounded like this was a win-win all around. But then he tells me what happened after the Ctrip study.
50% of the original group that volunteered to go home and had been at home for 9 months decided they wanted to come back into the office. The big complaint was loneliness and depression.
It turned out that especially among the younger workers, being home was this social loss. The workplace was how they made friends, how they met their partners.
And if you're cut off from it, it's painful, actually.
The study found choice is hugely important when it comes to work from home. With C-Chip, after workers who wanted to go back to the office left the experimental group, the productivity of the hardcore homebodies on average actually rose to 25%. Laura Hambly is an organizational and industrial psychologist who tries to figure out who would thrive working from home.
And this COVID, you know, sudden transition is less than ideal because people didn't have time to prepare, right, to onboard to it, to get the right training, and they're just all thrown into it.
Some people really aren't cut out for it. Hambly uses a kind of personality test to find good fits. Introverts, perhaps unsurprisingly, do very well. For them, just being at work takes work.
It's because there's people all around, and there's interruptions and conversations, and they may like people, but they need to recharge from that. So they feel kind of, when they're working from home, it's kind of a dream for them in terms of they get that focus, they get the time on their own.
She also found confident workers thrive as well, as in you don't typically need to ask a colleague to look over your work.
So someone who's new in their career and just starting their very first job and then COVID hits and they're not a confident person to begin with, this would be difficult.
Hambly found, though, that most people are somewhere in the middle, most productive with a few days in the office and a few days at home, which jives coincidentally with what many public health experts want in the new normal: staggered shifts, reduced occupancy. The bottom line, though, she says, is most people won't know until they try it. If there's any silver lining in this mass work from home experiment, it's that more people are trying it, forced to get over this fear.
It's fear that people aren't productive, but you should be able to know whether people are productive based on how you evaluate their performance and how you measure performance, regardless of whether you see them or not.
I hope my bosses see it that same way, but really, I'm very lucky to still have a job, whether I go into the office or not. And it would be nice to record in a studio again instead of where I'm recording right now, which is in a closet under a blanket. For Here and Now, I'm Jad Slaman.